Amen. He did it all for me. And appreciate that, Brother Abrams, very much. It's good to have Brother Reggie Williams with us tonight. Brother Williams is the Dean of Students, and as well as many other job description that he has at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist Bible College. But he's the person that our guys in the dorms, they fear a little bit. And I think that it's supposed to be that way, just a little, you know, that he's the one that inspects the dorms and is over that. And is fear? No, fear wasn't the right word. It is fear. See, they And so they're the ones. Anyway, so Brother Williams keeps these young men in line, and as a dean of men, and again, I appreciate Brother Williams. And again, having a relationship, not just having the oversight of the men, but having a relationship with these men and they're at the school, and them, and just a great responsibility on his end. Appreciate him. He's preached for us several times before. Come on, Brother Williams, and preach for us.
Brother Crawford, thank you. Well, I appreciate the introduction. It's always a blessing to be here tonight, and you know you're among friends when you have an introduction like that. But it's always a blessing. Thank the Lord for just what he's doing here at Heritage Baptist Church. And think about the building as we drove on property just a few days ago, and just to see God at work. And we thank the Lord for that. And when I think about first century churches that are still at it, this is definitely one church, you know, that is still at it and so forth. But I sure appreciate, again, your pastor's friendship, and of course, he and his wife, Tanya, their family, and you continue to get behind your pastor. And I know in these days, and of course, the days that we live, it's some great days are ahead and so forth there. But I want to say thank you for the opportunity to always preach. We have an opportunity to be home and so forth there. It's good to have my family, of course, to be with family. And of course, the McNeils, you know them, but also our Uncle Bill and also Aunt Brenda that's with us tonight. So it's good to have family in church tonight and so forth there. If you have a Bible tonight, let's all take them and turn to First Chronicles chapter number 12 tonight. First Chronicles chapter 12, and I know our time is moving along to a tremendous group of young people. You know, when you look at churches tonight, many teenagers, few and fewer, are showing up on Sunday nights and even Sunday mornings, so that's a good group that we see there. Amen. First Chronicles chapter number 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture, maybe new to some of you, beginning at verse number 23. And I felt the Lord had really impressed this on my heart days back, and sure enough, he solidified this. And for such a time as this, beginning at verse 23, the Bible says, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. And the children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor of war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Jehadiah was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man, mighty man of valor in his father's house, 20,002 captains. And for the sake of time, let's move down to verse number 31. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by the name to come and to make David the king. But I want you to notice verse number 32. It says this: And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 2,000, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You know, as we come to this particular text tonight, you'll notice that there's been a transition in leadership. Here we see that David has been made now the new king. Of course, Saul, who was Israel's first king, has now died. And now we see David is in transition to the throne. And with this, you'll notice that there are many that rallied around David as he, of course, becomes this new monarch, if you would, here. But what's interesting about this is that there were literally thousands of men, some of their own army and other tribes, that come to Hebron for this unique transition. But, you know, for the sake of time tonight, I'm sure we could study all of these men, but I want you to notice just one particular group tonight found in verse number 32. And we see that they are a unique group that come around David for such a time as this. We see them as the children of Issachar. I just want to unpack just one verse tonight. You'll notice that this particular tribe, I believe, is unique because we see prophetically, we're going to see how different they are. It says in the children of Issachar, prophetically, they were different. I believe that they were a valuable asset to David. Here we see, which were men that had an understanding of the times, men of great skill. It goes on to say, to know what Israel ought to do. I believe that these individuals had tremendous intelligence. And it goes on to say, the heads of them were 200. You know, here we see out of all of these, they were among the fewest that come around David. And it says this, and all their brethren were at their commandment, and yet they knew how to rule. And I just want to bring just a simple titled message tonight. I believe it's a timely message. I've simply entitled it, The Call for Discernment. The Call for Discernment. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to stop and thank you, Lord, already for, Lord, just how good it's been in your house today. And Lord, even this morning as we think about our Sunday school classes, and Lord, even this morning's message on grace. And Lord, our hearts have been touched, Lord, by the music and even the missionary video. And Lord, we've worshiped today. But Lord, as we come to you tonight, Father, I trust and pray that you would just truly still all matters around us, things that are concerning us. I pray that we would take some time right now. And Lord, just be determined to hear from you. And Lord, I'm burdened, Lord, for the day and age which we live, because Lord, among believers, there's such a lack of spiritual discernment. And for many tonight that may sit in here, maybe they've not given to understanding what that is. But Lord, I do pray tonight in the short time that you would call us, awaken us, Lord, to the need for spiritual discernment tonight. And Lord, by your grace, and Lord, through all that is said and done tonight, Lord, we'll give you, and I promise to give you the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember years ago, I had the opportunity to coach basketball in a little small city of Cottage Grove, Minnesota. And I'll never forget that our pastor had asked, hey, you know, do you have any basketball experience? There's this Christian school that's looking for a coach. And I said, sure, I enjoy basketball. I'll do what I can. And I'll never forget when I first met the group of young men I was asked to coach. None of them have ever played basketball before. They all played hockey. What's hockey? They all played hockey. And I tell you, I did the best that I could, the Lord gave us, I think, about 7 or 8 young men and so forth. But we went the whole season, get this, 0-10. We didn't win one game. I mean, we went the whole game without winning, one single game. And so I remember coming home at night telling Cheryl, we're in for it. I think it's the coach. I'm the problem here. And so I remember going to the administrator and said, listen, hey, we've got to do something. I think that next season, I think we can do something. I think we can win a game or two. And I said, you know, I'll put together a basketball camp. And so we did. We organized the basketball camp, guys and girls and so forth. And we were ready. The Lord gave us a 6'3" young man that we acquired. And I knew that we had some hope. And so we started that season off. And I tell you, it was quite the season. And did you know that we finished that second season 0-10? We didn't win in a game at all. Absolutely. And you know, we lost every single game. And I tell you, I've never been so discouraged as a coach before. And I think I did everything that I could. But you know, I begin thinking about this. Why is it were we so unsuccessful? What was the cause of this? And you know, as I begin to think back and back and think over and over, you know, one of the key problems I think that our young athletes had was they had a problem of just turning the ball over. They would hear their name called in the midst of the game and they would turn that ball over. They'd hear their name called and they would just throw the ball to the voice. And you know, when I stop and think about that, dear Christians, dear folks tonight, you know, there are many voices that I believe that are being sounded today. Many voices in our secular culture, and with that, even with this emerging modern church philosophy, of course, that's emerging today. And you know, these voices are just no more than just winds of our culture blowing across the landscape of our Christianity. And sadly enough, I believe that these voices have dictated direction when it comes to family, when it comes to worship, when it comes to biblical interpretation, when it comes to just how to get direction in life. I was looking at some statistics recently. They said that as of this year alone, 4.8 million Americans viewed the Dr. Phil show, a pop psychologist. And of course, one of the number one leading maybe talk shows, I believe, today. 62% of Americans today get their news from social media. Over 55% view the major news network as a source of where they get their information. Nearly one half of Americans in the average household today have visited the psychiatrist to get some type of psychiatric treatment. And granted, there are some grounds for that and so forth there. But you know, folks, sadly, many believers today are seeking spiritual direction from some of these secular sources. And can I say tonight that, you know what, there's only one voice that we need to adhere to, and that's the voice of the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. It's from the Word of God. And you know, tonight, can I say this? You know, we are in unprecedented times, I believe, as a Christian history, And yet, when it comes to church and culture coming together, colliding together. And I mean, we've got a war on our hands. And one of the great tools that I believe that's lacking in our Christianity, within us as believers tonight, can I say it's a tool of spiritual discernment? And I believe that God has given us many tools in this Christian life, but one of the greatest ones that we're lacking today is the tool of spiritual discernment. And teenagers, as I look at you tonight, did you know that God desires for you to use and have the tool of discernment? It's not something that maybe you would think the older generation or the older folk would have, but every single person in this room tonight, God desires for us, to take advantage of the tool of discernment. And tonight with that, I just want to share with you just four principles. I want us to take a look at this group by the name of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar. And what is it can we glean from them tonight? And I pray by God's grace we'll see some things that I trust it'll be a help to us tonight. First of all, I want us to see their discernment exemplified. Their discernment exemplified. Now notice back, if you would, the phrase back at our text here, and the children of Issachar. You know, here we see that this implies, or what we're going to look at, it implies the qualities that accompany their discernment. You know, if you were to consider the background of the tribe of Issachar, here we see that Issachar was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Each son, I believe, represented a particular tribe. And all of these tribes, in fact, if you were to go back to Genesis, I believe, chapter 49, you can begin to see a little bit of a breakdown of this tribe and how prophetically, I believe, that God uniquely blessed them. But one thing that stands out to me in reference to the tribe of Issachar is that aside from their prophetic aspect, is yet the giftedness or the wisdom that no doubt was passed on to them. And could it be tonight that Issachar was kind of like the Apostle Paul as Paul was writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, that ye might teach others also? And I'd have to say that even like Paul was challenging young Timothy, no doubt, maybe Issachar was certainly passing down maybe this discernment to his own, tribe or children. And yet, what a great challenge for you and I today of the great need to pass on, wisdom and discernment to the younger generation. You know, it's said that 56% of today's younger millennials, if you do that, you kind of do the study on that, that's those born from 1990 to 96. Get this, they don't identify themselves as being Christian, speaking about those that grown up in a Christian home. They don't consider themselves being, Christian. Could it be because the older are not passing on, the solid faith and wisdom and discernment that is so needed? Now, as we look at this tonight very quickly, their discernment exemplified, I got to thinking about this. You know, discernment is not something, that just kind of happens by osmosis. I'd have to say that there are some characteristics or some things that come along with this. It's interesting as you look at the tribe of Issachar here, beginning specifically looking at chapter 49, but you'll notice some characteristics. You'll notice throughout this study, you'll notice that they were characterized as being strong. If you just listen to Genesis 49 and verse 14, it says, Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. That speaks about the prophetic nature of this particular group, if you would, here. But they were referenced as being strong. And, you know, as I look at that this evening, yet even prophetically speaking, they were known for the ability, for their readiness and for their hard labor when it came to conditions under hard pressure. And you know, as believers tonight, you and I are called to a Christian life of being strong. And yet not leaning on our own understanding, but yet asking and depending on God for, of course, the strength. But one characteristic that we see of them is that they were characterized as being strong. Over in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 28, speaking about the children of Issachar, it says, of the children of Issachar, by their generations, all that were able to go forth to war. Not only was this group recognized as being strong, but also we see them recognized as being soldiers. It's estimated that 10,000 U.S. soldiers today are currently deployed to Afghanistan. You know, when you and I got saved, did you know that we enlisted in the battle for truth and right? And yet even Issachar, we see that one characteristic of them was that they were soldiers. And yet you and I are to be the soldiers of the cross. In 1 Chronicles 7, verse 5, they were characterized as being steadfast. It says, and their brethren among all families of Issachar were valiant men of might, reckoned in all by their genealogies, 70. They were recognized as being steadfast. And yet, you know, I'd have to say that in our day and age today, that quit is very much a part of the fiber. You don't have to go too far at all where you just see quit as an alternative. In the Christian life, obviously, you and I, we ought to persevere. We heard a great message, I think, Wednesday night by Pastor from Galatians. And yet, the fruit of the Spirit, and yet you and I, we must not quit the fight. But lastly, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23, you'll notice that there was a characteristic, and we read this, of them being surrendered. And came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul according to the word of the Lord. And yet, you know, here we see that there was a spirit of surrender. Now, where I'm going with this, these are just some of the basic characteristics that accompanied, can I say, this discerning group. We see that their discernment was exemplified. But I want you to see quickly tonight, notice number two here. I want you to see that their discernment, or we see their discernment explained. Now, notice back at the phrase, if you would, it goes on to say this, which were men that had an understanding of the time. You know, the word understanding used here, it actually has a very broad meaning. The word understanding has been translated indifferently, particularly in the book of Proverbs. It means wisdom or prudent or judgment, or it means to discern. But the literal meaning for this word, as we see this, means to separate between. Now, we're going somewhere, and I'm building a case with us in just a little bit here. We see the word this understanding, but notice the word times. You know, the word times used in the King James Bible here can be used in two different ways. It refers to time which elapses, or it also means an occurrence, or can I say an event or seasons. And as we look at the times in which I believe that the children of Issachar begin to discern, they knew the times. In other words, as they came around David, they had an understanding of the natural times. They had an understanding of knowing when to plow and when to the sow and the reap. And they understood the ceremonial times. They had a political understanding of course, the transitions and so forth here. There was a general understanding. Now, let me just make some spiritual application. Can I ask you this question tonight? Do you and I have an understanding of the times? I'm not talking so much as about, again, all of the natural aspect or the ceremonial or even the political, but I'm talking about the spiritual tonight. Do we have an understanding of, can I say, the spiritual times and the spiritual climate in which we live? I was thinking, I'll have you to quickly turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, very quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and also Revelation 3. You know, I was thinking coming this way, you know, if there were two passages that really illustrate the day and age which we live, we're looking at them in just a moment. And yet, you know, can I say as a believer, if you and I don't have handles on the day and age which we live, we are people most miserable. As Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, a very familiar passage, he says this, beginning in verse 1, this know also that in the last days, what kind of days? Perilous days, unstable or dangerous days, unraveling days shall come. When men shall be lovers of their own selves and covetous and boasters and proud, blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such as, such turn away. For of this sort they creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins and lead away into divers lusts. Now, let me just stop right there. I think that as believers this evening, yet I don't think there's much argument to understand that's the day that we live today. And yet, you know, can I ask again, do we have a little bit of an understanding of yet the day which we live? Now, again, we're still building our case here in just a moment. Go quickly to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter 3, and it's the Apostle John there on the Isle of Patmos is writing, of course, to these seven churches. And yet, one in particular that I say today, and then many of which I can say that give illustration of where we are today. But many, of course, equate this particular church beginning in verse 15 is the day which, of course, where we are today. And he says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold, nor cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And yet because of the lukewarmness, we see the Lord, of course, that is his reaction. We call that the Laodicean church. And can I say this, church family, tonight, when we consider this matter of discernment, what is discernment tonight? You know, as I was doing a little bit of studying on the word spiritual discernment or discernment, it's interesting how many tonight have defined what discernment is. Some say that discernment is the ability to decide between truth and error or right and wrong. Some have said that it's a spirit-led enablement to distinguish which is spiritual and which is not of God. Someone once said this, it is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about the truth. But I want to give you one definition tonight that really is going to make up this point and so forth. But you know, as I looked at some of these different definitions, there's one tonight that I think that fits this well for our application. Someone once said that spiritual discernment, get this, it's the divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. It's the divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. Now, let me quickly go through this tonight. First of all, I believe that spiritual discernment is divine. That means it's by the Spirit of God. That means that the unsaved individual cannot tonight have or make spiritual discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Did you know again tonight that the unsaved, and sometimes we get upset, and we're a little bit surprised when the unsaved politician makes some of the outlandish decisions, and we ought to a certain degree, of course, be upset. But a lot of times we're surprised when they're not making logical decisions. Yeah. And so one aspect of, discernment is it's divine. That means it's of the Spirit of God. But the second part of this definition I thought was good is I said it's the divine. Then I said, number two here, it's the skill. What I mean by that is it's something to be developed and practiced, I believe, with every Christian. There are many holiness groups today and many denominations that would say solely that spiritual discernment is a spiritual gift. You can have it, but you can't have it. And folks, my Bible still says in James chapter 1, verse 5, as we heard this morning, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. And so what I'm saying tonight is that you might be a new Christian tonight. Did you know that you can have spiritual discernment? Teenagers, did you know that you, by asking God and, I, of course, by getting in the Word of God, that you can have spiritual discernment? Amen. I've got a good friend, a mechanic friend back in Los Angeles, and his name is Lloyd, and I don't believe that Lloyd is saved by no stretch, but you know, it's interesting, he is a master mechanic. I think everybody ought to have a good master mechanic. And I tell you, I'll never forget the first time I came across Lloyd, and I mean, just somebody off the, I mean, just didn't, you know, I don't think he went to mechanic school or by no stretch there, but I mean, he just knew automotive. And we built such a good friendship. He's been over to our home a few times just to do work on the cars and so forth. And I remember him saying this. He said, you know, Reggie, you know, I really didn't, when I started working on cars, I just picked up a tool one day and I just kind of stuck with it. And you know, he's got such a skill with it that, you know, he can just detect some of the, he can open up an engine and just kind of detect right from an eye what's right and what's wrong. And do you have that kind of discernment as believers tonight? It's a skill. It's something to be developed. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'd have to say that not only is it a divine, meaning it's of God, it's a skill, something to be developed. But notice number three here, separating. And this is where I think that we need to understand. When you think about discernment, and I think in our normal use of the word, it's more than just judging from right and wrong. But you know what? There's a holiness factor that I believe that's involved in that. When you and I make spiritual discernment, can I say that we're searching out biblical truth? 2 Timothy 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. In other words, distinction must precede, get this, discernment. Then the last two parts of the definition, separating God's ways from man's ways. God's ways meaning what is pleasing, which leads to blessing. Now, folks, I want you to understand one thing is that when we make discernment, is our goal to please the Lord in our decisions? It's amazing how sometimes that in the act of trying to serve the Lord, we desire still to meet our own personal needs. But I believe that a major part of making discernment is separating to God's ways, yet, of course, to be blessed. Proverbs 8, chapter 34, verse 35 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. And for whosoever findeth life shall obtain favor of the Lord. All of our decisions ought to want to please, of course, the Lord. And the last part of this definition I thought was unique was separating man's ways, get this, God's ways from man's ways. In other words, what is pleasing in man's sight. Judges 21, verse 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so when I think about this definition tonight, as we see the definition, can I say, explained, if you would, here, there's all sorts of different definitions. But can I ask you this tonight? What is discernment to you? We see that it's the divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. You know, as we get back to the phrase quickly tonight, we see their discernment exemplified. We see a discernment that it's explained. But notice this next phrase, if you would, here quickly. Thirdly, we see tonight, it says this, to know what Israel ought to do. And thirdly, I see this, their discernment exercised. To know what Israel ought to do. Boy, you go back and look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you know, that's really the unraveling. I'd have to say that after, of course, Saul had wanted to be like all other nations, that begin the unraveling, can I say, of really his leadership. But in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, it says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected me from being king. And yet, we see that the Issachar, if you would hear the group of Issachar, that they knew how to ascertain. That's what the word know means, to ascertain by seeing. I'd have to say that the children of Issachar exercised discernment and really in a threefold manner. There was a prophetical discernment. We won't take time to go any further with that. I believe also that there was a political discernment. But you know, the part I want us to apply tonight, there was a practical discernment. Even though that there's not a whole lot of scripture, I don't believe that's given to the tribe of Issachar in terms of maybe this practical discernment. What was it, no doubt, that helped them to make proper discernment? Well, folks, I believe that the Torah was certainly alive and well during David's reign, and yet during this tribe's reign. I believe that they had the law. They had the Word of God. And how you and I can make practical discernment today, get this, it has to be by the Word of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, when I think about the Word of God tonight, number one, it must be our faith. The Word of God must be our faith. This is where we get, of course, our dependence. Number two, it must be, can I say, our filter. You know, we went through airport TSA not too long ago. You've been there before, but I tell you what, it's not just like that getting on the airplane these days. I mean, you pass through an X-ray machine, and that's what the Word of God must be. It must be it's our faith, it's our foundation, it's our, of course, our filter. The question quickly, as we kind of look at the discernment exercise to know what Israel ought to do, my question is, why is spiritual discernment such needed in the age which we live today here? You know, when I think about that particular question, first of all, as I put down here, you know, we live in such an age of deception. You know, truth is masqueraded, I believe, in all forms today. I know I've got you turn around just a little bit, but quickly, I want you to take your Bible, go now over to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Because of the age of deception in which we live. And these are some great verses, I believe, to underscore and also just to kind of mark, if you would. 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to go ahead and begin reading for the sake of time. But beginning in verse 1, John says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but what does that next word say? But try the spirits. That word try means to test or to prove. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby you know that ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of an antichrist, whereof ye have heard what it should come, and even now already is in the world. You know, there are many truths, can I say, that are out in the world today, small truths. You know, there are many truths when it comes to, of course, Bible translations in the Word of God. And you know, as I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd tonight, why we need to be extra discerning. You know, many would say today, and I've heard the question, Pastor, I'm sure you've heard it before, but is it really a big deal that we just kind of, can't we just use any version of the Word of God? I mean, aren't all Bibles the same? You know, can I say, no, they're not. You know, since 2016, it's been said that it's been over 636 translations, or rather, the Bible's been translated into 636 languages. In the New Testament alone, over 1,442 languages, we see the Bible has been translated. Different versions. And yet we must give careful, can I say, attention when it comes to, of course, the Word of God. You know, some would say, you know, what's the big deal about the different preachers that we listen to on television? And I think, Pastor, you referenced one this morning, but you know, it is a great deal. Many teach different forms of the gospel, prosperity gospel and social gospel and artificial gospel. And yet it's a big deal who we listen to, who stands behind the sacred desk. You know, how we worship. So funny, our family was in Burger King, I think, last Monday, and you've been there before. Some of you teenagers, this might be outdated, but I tell you, that slogan that has been around for years and years is what? Have it your what? Kind of have it your way. That's kind of the slogan. And we see that in worship today, preacher. I mean, we just want to kind of have worship any old way. And yet we must be discerning when it comes to how we worship. And when it comes to associations and relationships. And yet the Bible clearly mandates when it comes to biblical separation. When it comes to personal separation. Talking about you and I and our relationship with this world as a church. We don't lock hands just with any old church. We call that ecclesiastical separation. And when it comes to blatant disobedient brethren, there are times that we have to exercise what's called church discipline. And yet we have to separate ourselves from disobedient brethren and, of course, false teachers. And yet, what I'm saying is we live in such an age of deception tonight, today. Notice quickly here, there's also the age of degradation because of sin. I'm going to go quick here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Get this, and this is not all about statistics, but listen to this. It's been said that 23% of Americans in the last 16 years have found immoral positions morally and relatively acceptable. And that's kind of in addition to the downslide where we're going tonight. And we're in a day and age today where, I tell you, it's certainly sin-laced, if you would. Many today want to get as close to the world and yet, of course, you know, kind of drag our standards along with that. Jay Adams, biblical counselor, said this, one of the great statements that he said, the greatest desire in Christianity has become not to find separation between the Christian and the world, but to find the agreement between the two. And that's where we are in our day and age. Why must we be discerning? Well, number one, because of the deception that we see. Number two, because of degradation. I put down number three here, because of desperation. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 says, and the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain. And the people were gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what has become of him. You know, we live in such a desperate age today that we want to meet needs and just kind of do things without seeking the Holy Spirit. And yet, folks, we've got to become discerning. And yet we live in this need it now type of culture. I kind of chuckled at this, but it's really where we are today. But they said that McDonald's, it's amazing how they have kind of entered this mode and now they cater to you. You can order McDonald's. It'll come right to your home. And that might be new here. Maybe not new here, but it's new to us where we are. Walmart begins to deliver there. You can go. I think there's an app that you can search. And yet they're setting up to where even now Walmart begins to deliver. Purchases today are made on Amazon, two to three day delivery, putting many, of course, businesses out of business. You know, as believers, we don't know how to postpone, get this, gratification. And you know, there's some of us tonight that are not very discerning because it's the needs, it's the instant needs that we do have. And lastly here, not only do we see it's an age of deception why we need to have discernment, because of the age of degradation, the age of desperation, but I put this down here because of the age of disunity where we live. We live in such a disgruntled age. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and verse 54. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, ye do not always resist the Holy Ghost, speaking about Stephen. As your fathers did, so do ye. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You know, we live among a group of individuals today that are easily incited by our Christianity. They're inflamed by, can I say, by our position. And I believe that one of the greatest weapons that we can use is just silence. You know, some of us have not been very discerning with maybe neighbors that, I mean, they are anti-Christ. And yet what we must do is we got to get the last word in, or we must, you know, take action against them. And yet, you know, there are times that we must be discerning when it comes to the disunity that we see here. And so, folks, as we kind of journey through this, and again, just kind of borrowing some phrases, we see something about this group of Issachar. We see their discernment exemplified. We see their discernment explained. We see their discernment exercised. But notice fourthly and finally tonight, and I'm just about finished here, I want you to see their discernment effective. Or we see the effect that their discernment had. Now go back to the phrase if you would. It says, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You know, you can only imagine the skill and the arsenal that David had as he had all these different groups that begin to rally around him. And just like, of course, any U.S. president, of course, when they take office, they begin to build the team. They begin to build an arsenal. They begin to, of course, gather those around them for the purpose of course, success. But here we see that the Lord, here we see a small group, of course, is used as they come around David. And I see two things with this. Notice, first of all, notice the testimony of their discernment. Now, again, just looking at the phrase here, the heads of them were 200. Now, folks, when I look at that, I mean, of course, being the smallest that gathered around them, you know, the thought came to mind is that, you know, God often uses the small to accomplish the big. I mean, you go through scripture, I think about the nation of Israel as a whole. I think about Esther and Gideon. You think about the lad. I think about the disciples. And yet, my thoughts went a little bit deeper with this as I begin to think about you and I tonight. You know, wouldn't it be something if there would just be a husband that would say, by God's grace, that, Lord, you know, I'm going to get a hold of wisdom. I'm going to ask for wisdom. I'm going to start making some decisions that are Christ-honoring. Wouldn't it be something if we had just one or two teenagers that would just get excited and get on fire about just being wise and decision-making? And yet, you know, it doesn't take, can I say, thousands and thousands to become wise and discerning, although that's the goal. But it takes a few, can I say, that just have a desire to kind of rally around the man of God. I love 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, I can't help but to think about my grandmother, Elnora Jenkins, and yet you'll meet her in heaven. And yet, when I think about my grandmother, didn't have a lot of education, you know, didn't know much, but she did know the Lord. And, you know, when I think about her, some of the wise sayings that she would left, and yet, you know, as I look at our family and do a little bit of our family heritage, it's amazing to see how God has been good and how God has blessed. All because of just, you know, one woman who desired to want to live for God and make right decisions. And, yet, you know, here we see the testimony of their discernment. But I want you to see lastly here, notice the transformation of their discernment. They had, I believe, significant influence on the brethren, let alone David. And yet it goes on to say this, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You know, here we see that whatever they said went. You know, whatever they believed, whatever direction that they should go, that's where they went. Wouldn't that be interesting if you and I had that kind of influence on our family? You know, in a youth group, wouldn't that be something? No doubt, I don't know what the percentage. Of course, we got a Christian school that's here. But those of you that are in public school, wouldn't that be something? And I believe that, you know, godly wisdom, I mean, it does have significant effects. And yet I'd have to say that's exactly what took place. And I believe that there was leadership and yet there was respect and loyalty. And I believe that that, of course, faith was no doubt instilled and yet it was affected. And yet we see transformation of their discernment. Now, it's not enough tonight just to kind of look at, if you would here, number one, as we looked at really their discernment exemplified and yet explained and exercised and yet effective. I guess the last question is, how is it tonight can you and I have spiritual discernment? I mean, how is it tonight can you and I get to the place where our decision making is separating God's ways from man's ways? My time is up, but I want to give you these last principles and I'm done. How is it tonight can we have this spiritual discernment? Well, notice number one, I put this down here. We must reject secular as sole authority for faith and practice. You know, there might be some of you tonight that are glued to Dr. Phil. You might be glued to some maybe pop psychologist or maybe some in-between guy who doesn't know Bible truth. You know, we've got to reject secular as sole authority. I believe number two here, we must become students of God's Word. Here's a good verse, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, speaking about the Bereans. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. And yet you and I, how we get spiritual discernment is we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to spend time in the book here. I believe thirdly, we must be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, of course, and the missionaries as they ended up there, of course, in Macedonia. But yet the Holy Spirit began to forbade them to go in different regions. And yet Paul and the group, I believe that they were sensitive. And folks, when the Spirit speaks to us, yet we've got to obey the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Then I put down the last two things. Not only must we reject secular as sole authority, not only must we become students of the Word of God, thirdly, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, but we've got a number four here, heed godly counsel. You know, thank the Lord for pastors and yet Sunday school teachers and godly folk. Did you know that I believe that God has raised folk up for a specific reason? And you know, godly counsel is, can I say, it's biblical. And yet Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? There is safety. Did you know that you can get discernment by yet counsel? I believe that the Word of God is to be the source, but I think about your youth pastors, and I think about, again, those that God has set up. But I put the last one down here, and I think this is good. You know, another way that we can learn discernment is that we must learn from the reproofs of life. In other words, the mistakes of life. You know, making mistakes are not always bad. I think they're only bad if you don't learn from them, if you would here. They're disastrous if you don't learn from them. But you know what, when you think about the reproofs and the difficulties of life here, the Bible says it best this way, Proverbs 6, verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs is instruction, are a way of life. And I believe that we can learn, we can gain wisdom from some of the hard knocks of life. And so folks, tonight, you know, as we think about this group, the children of Issachar, and maybe there's not a great deal. I mean, they're kind of smattered all throughout Scripture. But you know, there is one thing that we learn about this group. They knew what Israel ought to do. And yet, even though that I'm not speaking prophetically tonight, and maybe even just politically and agriculturally, but you know what, I have to say that even spiritually, no doubt that they had some spiritual aspects of direction. And how about it tonight, church family? Are we making decisions that are not based on biblical truth? Are we just kind of making rash decisions? Or are we taking time to get God's direction on the matter? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm going to turn the service over in just a moment. But you know, tonight, as we've come, my heart's desire is not only personally, but even for you tonight, that we don't leave the way that we came. And you know, I realize tonight, number two, that spiritual discernment, it's a topic. I know that it's an in-depth topic, and there are many teachings on spiritual discernment. But you know, rest assured tonight, it's not something specifically that's just a spiritual gift. But did you know that you can have spiritual discernment tonight? There might be some that are here, you've not been very discerning. And no doubt that I'm speaking to, of course, the Sunday night saved crowd. And let me just begin by saying, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't want to take for granted. If you're here tonight, boy, I want to invite you in just a moment as we all stand. You come down and we'll have some personal workers that will be willing to work with you and so forth. But why don't you get that settled? But let me just say this, ask number two. And by the way, if there's anybody, just maybe with an upraised hand, I don't want to overshadow that. Anyone at all, you know, you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just slip a hand up. I don't want to embarrass you tonight. I must be talking to the saved crowd. And folks, I just asked a simple question tonight. How many would say, you know, Brother Williams, I I've not been very wise. I've not been very discerning with some of my decisions. You know, maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's association. I've not discerned. I've not, in other words, separated God's ways from man's ways. And I've not been maybe discerning in the area of maybe my friendship. It could be finances. Maybe we're making decisions that are not based on Bible truth. You know, maybe we're trying to grow our spiritual walk, but you know, we're trying to do that through the internet. We're trying to do it by some pop psychologist. And I don't know what need you have tonight, but the need is this. We can begin to experience revival, I believe, even by seeing God work in our heart in this area of discernment. Let's all stand on our feet tonight, and I don't want to draw things out. Pastor, you come, but if there's a need tonight, and let's say that you're here tonight, and boy, you've not been discerned, I'm going to let the instruments begin to play. And if there's a need tonight, you come forward, and we sure would love to be a blessing to you.